I want to talk about guidance from above. I don't think there's ever a time in our lives when we don't need to be embraced by the Lord so we know whether we turn to the right or to the left, or we hear His voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." All our lives. I made a couple of comments here that three things have affected my spiritual journey in a significant way. The first one was salvation and personal new birth. That obviously was a gripping thing where I bowed my knee to Christ and invited Him to come into my life, and He did, and it's been like this ever since. You kind of think it's going to be like this. Not in my life. It's onward and upward. I said to Val the other day, we were walking together, and I said, you know, my salvation sure affected me. I said, all these years later, it's still gripping me. The fact that I belong to the Lord, that I'm His child. And it's salvation is a starting point, right? If somebody hasn't experienced that birth, then it's, I don't know how much help anything else would be beyond that. But this personal new birth is ours to experience and ours to enjoy. And that has happened in my, and continues. I am saved and I am being saved. Aren't you? The work carries on. There was a starting point, but then it was going onward and upward, and to this very, very day. I think we saw somebody really in bad shape and bad condition. And I said, look at that poor person. I said, you know, that could be any one of us. But somehow, some way, God saved us. And now we rejoice, and we can hardly believe the how would it be if you did not receive the Lord? You'd be floundering in every wrong way. It would be terrible. So it's wonderful that we believe in eternal salvation provided by the Son of God for our lives. I can see in my lifeline that was important and is important. But there was something else. That wasn't all there was. And that is experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the endowment of power. In other words, the baptism of the Spirit, as we know it, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's one of the evidences. There's many, of course. But that has been immensely helpful for me. Absolutely helpful. I'm grateful to be saved and on my way to heaven shouting victory. I'm glad for that. But I'm equally glad for the power of the Lord as He comes upon us and fills us with Himself and touches our lives. And there is something powerful in Acts. For example, Acts chapter 2, of course, we know about that. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. And what are these illustrations of people who have been immersed in the Spirit of God? Remember two Sundays ago, or was that last Sunday when we had our brother? Last Sunday. That was. If you had any doubt about what that was about, you just have to play the tape again, because he was really describing it well. But I'm thankful to be saved, but I'm thankful to be baptized in the Spirit. I've just found it immensely helpful. And for the simple reason that it makes you effervescent, it puts a sparkle in you. It keeps you going. You're like the energy bunny. You know, it just keeps going. And who wouldn't want that? So that, I can look back and say, that, number one, the salvation. Number two is baptism of the Holy Spirit. And because of the sheer practicality of it. Somebody said, do I need to? What all that, you know, speaking in tongues. I don't ever force anybody for that. Just that if that somehow makes you thirsty, you might want to pursue that and say, I'm convinced I want everything God's got. And so, anyway, so number one, salvation. Number two, baptism of the Holy Spirit. But then I discovered a crucial thing, and that is the importance of being led of the Holy Spirit, to go through the rest of your life being led by Him. It's not optional. We must hear from the Lord. We must be open to what He has for us. I'm grateful for salvation. I'm grateful for baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I'm equally grateful for the voice of the Lord that talks to me and talks to you And we learn to, pretty soon we can tell which is God's voice, which is my voice, and which is the devil's voice. That's how we grow in these things, right? And when we do that, it's pretty wonderful. So guidance from above, the importance of listening, not leaping into things, but being quiet before the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord. In the scriptures, there's a lot about the Holy Spirit and his voice. Listen to this, Acts 16, verse 6. Forbidden by the Holy Spirit. What? Forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. What? He was forbidden. Forbidden by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said no. He said no. Wow. We can say, well, it's all straight ahead. Let's just keep going. It's going to be going great. Stop. I don't want you going into there. Wow. How would anybody know that if you hadn't gotten to learn to discern that he says go, he says stop, he says be careful. Other times he says go for it. I'm with you. So many expressions of it. But it's not all what I want. It's what he wants. And we learn to discern what would please him. The Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And then, there was the man of Macedonia. And he says, come over to Macedonia and help us. To help us. And so he said, what? There's a guy standing there. Come on over to help us. And this guy comes. And something happens in this guidance. And they went there instead. And it was a great revival. And good things happened. So God wants to accomplish something through us. He's got, it's not just me going to heaven, it's not just me being filled with the power of the Lord, it's what would you have me do? What should I be doing now? Lord, speak to me. I give you my heart and my life, but I know you want to accomplish things through me. So I was saved to go somewhere, to be set free, to be on a path. He said, I didn't take you just so you can go to heaven with me, although that's what's going to happen, but that you would yield your life to me, and we'll together, I'll use you, sometimes in little amounts, sometimes in great, very significant amounts. Many times it seems like not much is happening, doesn't it? It seems like too much is happening, and then other days it seems like, oh, things are happening, and that phone call comes through, and this happens, and we just say, Lord, it's just wonderful, how wonderful when we're led of the Spirit. It's a whole new way of living. It's life in the Spirit, and we need to culture that and build on that. We must get the mind of the Spirit on everything. We desperately must have the mind of the Spirit. We can't just rush through. We're good at that. I read somewhere it says, beware of ambition. Yeah, I guess that's true. Must have the mind of the Spirit and the guidance of the Spirit. It's all we have. It's all we have. We have the leading of the Spirit. We're saved. We're Spirit-filled. But we now must, at all occasions, we must rely on the Spirit. That's what the nature of this life is about. And if you have an impulsive spirit, it makes it harder for you. Some of us are stupid enough that we just need the Holy Spirit. We don't even question it. Lord, I'm so stupid. I've prayed this hundreds of times. Lord, if you're going to leave it up to me, I'm doomed. Because you're all I got. This is it. You must guide me. You must watch over me. You must direct me. Because I won't ever get it right. I know I won't. I'll be over here. I'll be at the airport when my ship comes in. And so the guidance of the Spirit is all we have. That's what the Lord says. He said, I save you, I fill you, and now you must listen to my voice as we do stuff together. And a lifetime, this Christian life, and I can testify to this, it just gets better and better. Do you have any regrets? Are you kidding me? This is the best life in the whole world. And imagine this, the promise to God to guide you. That if you trust Him daily, starting your day, Lord, I give you this day. So much that could happen today. So I give it to you. Wow, and we start thinking about how all the implications of that and what that means. I can say I'm 68. I've had 60, not quite that long. I've had 50 years of guidance. And whenever I've let God be in charge, it's gone splendidly well. Whenever I get in charge, it's crazy. I'm so grateful for God's mercy and kindness, because left to myself, it could have really been off into the bushes, but it didn't. It didn't. That's the power of it, the wonder of it. So God wants us to accomplish something, and he warns us. Isaiah 31, you might want to just look at that just for a second. Woe to you, excuse me, woe to you that go down to Egypt. Wow, you trust in horses, and you trust in chariots. Woe to you who go down to Egypt. I thought, wow, that's pretty strong, but that's wonderful. That's a very wonderful thing. Why not there? Because you're trusting in the wrong thing. You must trust only in the Holy Spirit. And you can't go to Egypt. And it is very strong. This is written again in another verse like that, where don't go down to Egypt. Egypt was the symbol of strength and vitality. You didn't need anything else when you were from Egypt. And so we say, wow, I've made a few trips to Egypt, thinking that I got this, rushing ahead, and then being so disappointed when I didn't realize why I was off track on this. It's just that God's at work, and we have to rely only on Him. There's no backup job. It's just, Lord, I'm here. Show me what to do in the days ahead. Show you what to do, each one of us, what to do in the days ahead, so that we aren't wasting time or effort, but we're focused and we're right straight on and say, Lord, I'm not going to take one move that you don't, or I don't sense that you are leading and guiding and directing. And so we wait on the Lord. Churches, of course, are famous for going ahead. We got some clever people, and we get some willing workers, and we let's just go do it. And we do it, and we say, oh, man, that thing. Well, I say, well, God is probably speaking to us and saying, listen, I didn't do that. That wasn't my building. That wasn't my progress for you. That was your own. Now you want me to bless it. You build something. Now you want me to bless it. And we've all of us have done some repenting. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I got ahead of you, and I'm back to where I need to be. So God's plan is that we are to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, because this is the age of the Spirit. This is the age, and the age will change, but this is the age of the Spirit, where everything is the Holy Spirit, and we listen carefully to Him. Acts 13, that talks about that. The early church was led by the Spirit, not just the individuals, but the whole church. And I am so thankful for, I remember one, well, actually many, many times, but with the elders, and praying, and sometimes literally getting down on our knees, because we didn't know how to handle things, and still don't. We just don't have that insight. And so I'm so thankful to be part of people that say, no, we must pray. And not just little token prayers, but we must pray significant prayers that we are moving forward in a way that pleases God. God is at work. And if the first century church was effective by the Lord, then we must be too. God beckoned and they followed. God beckoned, they followed. They didn't miss what God was doing. And for you and for me, and for this church, and for, and just we get it right in the sense that, Lord, here I am. Whether I go to the right or to the left, Lord, may I hear your voice say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. So powerful. They were positioned right where they needed to be, right in the right location, doing the right things at the right time. And later, he kind of thinks that maybe Paul missed it, but I don't think he did. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem. And they, no. Don't go down to Jerusalem. They're waiting for you. They're gonna kill you down there. You don't go down there. He said, I'm going down there because the Spirit spoke. The Spirit spoke. And they went against conventional wisdom. Paul went down there, and there were warnings all the way, but that didn't seem to alarm him at all, because he had heard from the Spirit. He'd heard from the Lord. Wow. Galatians 5, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, day by day, trusting him, committing our way to the Lord, putting our plans before him. And this is just the secret of it. Whatever plans you have, it's not that God's against your plans necessarily, but that you give him the right to choose. Say, Lord, would this be pleasing to you? Is this what you want? I want what you want. Is this what it is? And we walk by the Spirit. It does not mean to take the Spirit's guidance under advisement. We'll check with you later, Holy Spirit, just to see how it's going. It's not, that can't be it, under the Spirit, the advertisement of the church. So it's rather a way to submit yourself to God's mind and God's purpose, and the whole area, as we surrender to the Lord, we have one thing in mind, that the Lord might be magnified and glorified, so that your whole life would be led. That'd be a great t-shirt, just led. And where are those t-shirts when we need them, right? But it would be very good. Well, to submit our mind, say, Lord, I'm not sure whether this is right or if that's right, so I don't have peace. But that's one of the major signs of guidance, is that you have a peace. See, I feel real good about this. I feel strengthened by this. If you don't have peace, stop right now and slow down and stop and pray and say, maybe you want to get some advisement even, but you want to make sure that you're not going ahead, because you'll regret it so much. The path of the Lord is a good one, but if you're off the path and you're going ahead anyway, even though there was, I've worked with people for years, and I've seen it where they just go right ahead. I said, did you not feel cautioned? Did you not feel that there was a little hesitation here? And but I was, wanted this and I wanted that. And I just went against. I know people that went against their wife's guidance. Never a good thing. Never a good thing. Mine's here. Never a good thing. But people have done that. And so we again read the caution. Woe to you who go to Egypt and trust in chariots, because they are many. And in horsemen, because they are very strong, but they do not look to the Holy One. So there's that constant danger of going to Egypt, again, to where the strength is and where the power, instead of the Lord. I don't know why we do that, but we do that. God's plan is better, because it's so important that we have Spirit-led, Spirit-inspired, Spirit-filled. This is the age of the Spirit, so we drink deeply of it. We wait on the Lord. And not just a little prayer to throw on the blessing, the kind of the blessing at the end of the prayer meeting, but some real, when we're down before the Lord saying, lead us, guide us, direct us, help us. Lord, thank you. Thank you that I'm not going to be behind the door when good things happen. Thank you, God, for all the beautiful things that are happening. But Lord, I want your will more than anything else. And when you talk like that and pray like that, you can be sure you're not going to get off. You're not going to miss what the Lord has for you. Acts chapter 13, and they were worshiping and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, the early church so led of the Spirit of the Lord. The only way you're ever going to get this properly right is by experiencing it. So I'm sure that almost everybody here has something that guides, that you need to guide you and direct you. And I'm going to give you just some thoughts here that maybe would help you. And it certainly helps me. And the only thing, I just wish God would write it on the wall. Wouldn't that be helpful? See, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I should go this. I could do that. I'm not sure what to do. Lord, just write it up there on the wall. Yes. Now that's, or you know how we want the flashlight. Just shine it a little further down, Lord. Just a little further. I can't see very far. And that's how God works. And he just doesn't. I've got things going on in my life right now. I'm not sure where this is all going, but I have a belief that because he has never failed us yet, right? He's never, ever, ever failed us. He will not fail you now, but you must stay close. You must learn to linger and just to wait on him and spend time. You won't miss it if you have that attitude. So what can we do? Well, I wrote here, pray for a burden. Pray for a burden. A burden is something God gives you. See, you know, how, if you don't have a burden for things, you just then you're in your own flesh. But just to pray for a burden of the Holy Spirit, where you say, you know, I feel kind of comfortable doing that or working with that or living like that or going like that to this place or that place. And it's just a burden of the Lord. In other words, I just didn't make it up in my head. Oh, I want to do this now. And I want to do this now. I want to do that now. No, not at all. But that it's something to say, Lord, I feel my heart really on that. And so as you say, Lord, show me the burden of the Lord so that I know what's on his heart. Because his burden, as he shares with you, you'll feel and sense something. And it'll be good. Number two, it's important that we embrace the doctrine of prevenient grace, and which simply means God is always there first. That's what prevenient grace is about. The doctrine of prevenient grace, God is always first. He gets there. He just gets there ahead of us. So we never go a lead and say, come on, Lord, come on, let's go. No. It doesn't work like that. It's that let's join God in what he's already doing. That's what he wants. He's up to something. And because he's up to something, I am encouraged, so immensely so. I am encouraged that I'm joining something, you're joining something that is of the Lord. It's already there. You don't make it up. You don't try to find something that you can do. But that it would have this sense of that God was first there. And so, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? Here I am. Lord, what are you doing? Wow. And so, the third point, it's important to catch the wave. Because I think there are things that you say, you know, it's funny, that spoke to me, and that spoke to me, and the program I saw on TV, that was about that, and this was about that. Everywhere I go, I'm seeming kind of getting direction. And then, oh, that's a good sign. A very good sign. You won't go wrong. You won't go wrong on that. But catch the wave. You just can't go off and do your own thing. Say, Lord, what are you up to in our church? What are you up to in our outreach? Is there anything that I should be listening for? But you know, catch that wave. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because you can see something. You know, a church can be led. Organizations can be led. People can be led, but we must catch the wave that the Lord is riding for us, and we can be encouraged by it. In Joshua chapter 9, verse 14, I don't think it's in your notes, but he says, but he did not ask for of counsel of the Lord. He did not, that's Joshua 9:14. He did not ask of counsel of the Lord. And the Lord was greatly displeased about that. That's, you see, the problem, if you rely in your strength and your ability, you'll never get it right. Oh, you can do some significant, by the way, if you have, you know, there's grade A flesh and average flesh and loser flesh. And if you have grade A flesh, you can do a lot. You don't even need to pray. Just go and do it, especially if you're smart and sharp. Just go and do it. Right? That's just, that's how it works. Many, many people. I believe ministries have often been started out of enthusiasm, but not necessarily out of the Lord. And so we want to say, Lord, I don't want to be off track, especially, there's so much that could be said about that. But to ask of the Lord, inquire of the Lord, see what happens, see how he will guide you and direct you. I read somewhere that this person, they would every day put some powder, to check for, what's it called? To see where people have walked and that. I can't think of the name. Why did I even say that? You see God's been here. God's been here. God's been here. Fingerprints. Thank you. There it is. God's been here. God's been here. God's been here. God's been here. I say, wow. I see God's footprints are everywhere. It's all over this thing. And when you see something, you're going to say, I just feel it's all God's all over this. You will be rejoicing greatly. And you'll be rejoicing. But we ask of the Lord. That is the number one thing. You cannot advance without this. And you go through the scriptures. There are just so many verses that talk about the importance of relying on the Lord. Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. And we cry out and we say, Lord, show us your will. Show us your will. And we can pray that for our lives. We can pray it for the church. We can pray for our community, that we pray God's blessing. And so we say, Lord, show us your will. We want to be humble. One of the secrets of this, stay humble. God will move, and God will reveal things, and you'll be led, but only if you're humble. If there's an arrogance about us, so because humble people, they rely on the Lord. They just have a sense of it. And I'd like to think that, remember, I being in the way the Lord led me. That's a great verse. I being in the Lord, in the way the Lord led me. And a lifetime of guidance, a lifetime of hearing God's voice. Now, of course, somebody says, what does God's voice sound like? I don't know. I just know when I recognize his voice. I don't hear a lot of, how people often say, well, the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me. I don't think the Lord talks that much. That's just my take on it. There's quite a bit of talk down here, but I just don't know. You know how I'm saying, oh, yeah, the Lord said this, the Lord said that, the Lord said that. Did he? Did he really say that? I don't know if he did. But he has a voice that whether it's something blaring or something quiet, I don't think that's an important thing. Just you have a sense of that there's just a rightness about it. I wish it was more like where he just show up and, but nevertheless, it's very dependable. And nobody has ever missed it, I don't think, who wanted to do God's will. I really think that's true. It's just, I was thinking, of our own church here. Richard, you can vouch for this. All these years, the last 30 years, we haven't had division or schism. Only by the mercy and grace and God's love for us and his care for us, and that we humble ourselves before him. And because I meet people all the time, and oh boy, it went sideways and up and down and backwards, and everything went wrong, and people got in trouble, and it's just terrible. It's just terrible. It's just conflict. Just unbelievable conflict. And the enemy just coming in, boom, destroying it. And we say, wow. And so I say, not to brag one ounce, but just to say, thank you, Jesus, for watching over us. And, we have the usual human things, but nothing that could bring, just demonic discouragement to us. And isn't that good? What is that? Because I think there's been people get down before the Lord, so it's based on prayer, based on reliance. And we should be a little bit afraid. Don't go too fast. We'll go slow. We're going to pray about it some more. Pray about it. Is it done? Have we come to that? So we're down to praying about it. I knew it was bad. I didn't think it was that bad. Oh, man. No, I think, again, of the way God has worked in my life and Val's life, it's all because of mercy and kindness, by the mercy of God. And things can change. Oh, things can change in a minute. But by his grace and by his mercy, may it not be anything but good as we grow and we mature in the things of the Lord. Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. Now, that doesn't rule out speaking in tongues or being saved. It's just a foundation. It's all based on Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. So it's a cross-oriented thing. But we go forward day by day, hour by hour, with one thing absolutely rigid in your mind, that the Lord has gone before us and we're joining him in what he's doing. And sometimes you need to slow down, sometimes you speed up, but you don't worry. You just look to him, snuggle up to him till you feel close to him, and you find yourself, if you're having your devotions, to say you're walking around and you're praying and you're thanking the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is to follow. Lord, I thank you that I'm on the right path. Lord, I believe by faith. And if I'm not, Lord, if this is going to lead to destruction, Lord, stop me right now. Stop me right now, Lord. Don't let me go any farther. Just don't let me go any farther. Just, Lord, moment by moment, I've got my hand in your hand. Thank you, God. Thank you. Or, Lord, I'm going to take that job. I'm not sure if I should take that job or not. Oh, don't let me miss this. I don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, wishing I was somewhere else. But Lord, thank you. So thank you for preventing me from going right off the edge. The wheels come right off. May that never happen. May you never be beside the road, highway, out of gas and out of luck and out of everything. There's nothing sadder than that people who made wrong choices, they went in their own strength. They went to Egypt. That's what they did. They went to Egypt. And even after counsel, they went to Egypt because it looked better. It was more excitement. Yeah, there was excitement, all right. So even like for a job, go slowly. You would find somebody else and say, listen, I don't know what to do. Would you mind praying with me? Oh, this is good stuff. You say, yeah, and you kneel down together, Carl and I, we're nodding here together. And that the Lord would say, Lord, thank you that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it, weathers the wheel like a water course. And so that's the starting point of this. And we're praying for something. Lord, I pray for my brother and my sister that she won't make a mistake. She's going to be straight on. If she's supposed to take the trip, you do this and this and this. But thank you, God, we're going to trust you. That's how you get led. That's how you are directed. You don't go off in a wild fury of activity. Because you've gone to Egypt, if that happens. You want to wait on the Lord as much as you can. And then you ultimately have to step out. You ultimately have to step out in faith. It'll be the time when I'm trusting. And you say, yeah, that's good. But now you got to make a decision, so step out. This is the hardest part, I find, that it seems easy enough. I hope that's not anointing oil. Add a whole new meaning to the word anointed, wouldn't it? You step out, you say, I don't know. By the way, Val and I and Richard, you were here. When we came here, we weren't sure what to do. We were with Glenn and Tracy Ryland. And we came and we heard about what they were trying to do here. And I met Richard. And you know, that was something that has changed, that changed my life. It was amazing. But we went unsure of whether what was going on. We just said, well, by faith, let's go find out. And we committed our way to the Lord. And 30 years later, wow, scores of people saved and filled and touched. And why? Because we were obedient, right? We were obedient to the heavenly call. And but I remember thinking, we said, we don't even know anybody here. We didn't. I knew Stan Powers. That was the only one. But the point I'm making is that we thought we might go to Ottawa. That was the first thought we had. Let's go to Ottawa. And then we get this call from Stan Powers. And he said, listen, they're going to try to get a church rebuilt. And it's kind of stalled. And so he said, okay, that's what we're going to try. Well, we think you're supposed to come. We think you're supposed to come and come to the coast. And we said, well, we've never been there. We're from Regina, right, or Moose Jaw, wherever you want to be. But it's the same. It's the same thing. So I look back and say, we were led. We were guided. But you don't get clear things, everything. Not everything is as clear as that. It was just together we surrendered to see the will of the Lord. And that's pretty powerful. Stand with me, if you would. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it here. How many here are in the throes of a decision? You have to make some decision. Not maybe a life-changing decision, but how many here? Because I like to just pray a prayer. Yeah, good. Anybody else? Yeah, good. Yes. Anybody else? It's most important that you get the mind of the Spirit. Right, that's it. You have to have the mind of the Spirit. And my flesh gets in the way, your flesh gets in the way. But that's why we pray. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful, wonderful voice that you have to guide us and direct us. And Lord, we're sometimes afraid we're like little children. We don't know what to do. So Lord, we're here together today, and we don't know what to do. And we won't know what to do tomorrow or the next day. You'll have to show us. Lord, I pray that for every person that has raised their hand, just to indicate that they want to be guided and directed. I pray that you will go before them. I pray you grant them your peace. Lord, as they surrender their hearts and their lives to you, I pray, God, that this will lead into some personal prayer for their own life as they wait upon you. And Lord, I pray that they will not, I pray that every one of these people put their hands, I pray that they will not miss it, what you have for them. Lord, just make it impossible to miss. And may they fall deeply in love with you in this whole process. And we thank you. God, thank you that this is a wonderful way to live. And we pray that you'd have your way in our hearts and our lives and do what you want to do. Lord, we thank you. It's a precious thing. Lord, it's a precious thing. And I pray, Lord, if anybody's on the verge of making a really bad decision, oh, just stop them right in their tracks. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We know that many people it was the bad decisions that really got them done. You got them done in. So, Lord, I pray. Lord, as you have guided our church for all these years, I pray that you would guide us individually. And we'll thank you and praise you and bless you. And Lord, I thank you for the journey. And may we follow close to you like sheepdogs. May we be very right at your heel. And we'll thank you. In your precious name. Amen. 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 Thank you for being here today and for filling the ranks. And we're going to now, there's coffee on the patio, so may the Lord guide you. I'm going to be out here too if you have a question or anything. I'd be glad to add to that. So thank you.